But it's down to 94 by now. 96 at airtime. Dry as, never seen it any drier. Just remarkable. Erica Kahn is by this hour. She comes by once a week or more often to bring us up to date on the ever-unfolding horrors of this virus vaccination operation genocide that has been unleashed on the planet. The more that appears and the more that we and she can figure out, and remember, we're on the outside. We're trying to put this together, connecting the dots as best as we can by doing things like reading the patent very carefully, especially the Moderna patent. What a revelation that was. Things are just getting worse. And the more we look, the more we find. And we're presenting things for your consideration. We're not telling you what to do, not telling you what to think. We never do that on this program. We're asking you to simply engage in the process of thinking. You've got the brain, and we are still allowed to do that at this point. Erica, welcome back.
Good evening, Jeff. Good to be back.
I'll take your word on the good evening part. It's been a tough day. Been a tough week already for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to slow down either. I don't know where to start. I was looking for the five doctors video. I can't find it. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. And that's with Sherry Tenpenny. She's kind of the head honcho there. Larry Pilevsky, Lee Merritt, Christiane Northrup, and Carrie Madej. Those are the five. Sometimes they have another sit-in. But there was one that just came out a week ago, was it, or less? Less. At least that's when I saw it. And in that video, let me just start with this. It was an hour and 20-minute video, I think. And Sherry Tenpenny said she actually got as upset as I've ever seen her. She got disgusted with something that Pilevsky said and said, enough is enough. We've got to stop this. It's enough. We've got to stop. I forget in particular what she was addressing with that comment, but it had to do with more revelations that are showing up all the time, and that is keeping people expended, confused. And I also want to say that in watching that, it was quite clear to me that I would suggest that Dr. Pilevsky is a fan of this program. I'm hearing him say things that are being mentioned here first, which is an old theme. Those of you who have been listening for a long time know that often happens. People do pay attention to this program, but they don't talk about it, and they certainly don't give attribution where it's called for, but all of a sudden, Pilevsky was mentioning things that you heard pretty much first here. When she said that at the end, Tenpenny, what were you thinking? What were your thoughts on that? What was she throwing her hands up, or what's going on?
I would say she's on the verge of burnout. I mean, she's been, I think, aggressively addressing the fraud in all of this since the very beginning. So yeah. Well over a year now. And people look to her for advice, and she's, you know, being pestered and pressured to provide answers that she doesn't have. And I think, you know, just wearing herself out, trying to be all things to all people, and I think she deserves a break and a round of applause. But I can see the exasperation and the fatigue.
That's what it was, exactly, exasperation. This is crazy. I think what she wanted to say but didn't say it, maybe she wasn't even thinking it, I don't know. But they, on the other side, are watching us and laughing at us, not you and I, but generally speaking, the people who are trying to put this together, chasing our tails.
Definitely. No doubt.
It just goes round and round and round. So, wow. Okay. All right. Thanks, Todd. I do have the video. So let me go pull this up. I'm going to play a little chunk of this. So what's new, briefly, while I'm pulling this up? What's breaking? What Erica does, among other things, she is a microbiologist out of MIT, in case you don't know. She does monitor many, many things. She pulls papers out of almost thin air that have been banished from the Internet that prove things, some extraordinary discoveries she makes. And then she also monitors the people. She watches the social media groups for the varying types of complaints that have aggregated into groups. So what's new? Anything?
I guess a few things. The CDC has, I guess, pulled the emergency use authorization for the PCR test without actually admitting that, you know, it was genuinely flawed, even though it couldn't distinguish between, I think somebody said it was a, well, we know they tested a pawpaw and a goat, or and it couldn't
it was
discern
a,
between
I think
a positive
it was
or negative in any of those things.
Correct. That came out of Tanzania. And that president was murdered. He was one of them.
Yep. So they're now retracting it. It's called a Class 1 recall as of just last week, July 21st, which Class 1 is apparently the most serious level of recall.
Right.
And they are admitting that it was faulty. And unreliable in diagnosing COVID.
How can this have happened? How could
I'm not sure
the CDC
because I
admit. Yeah.
Well, I think they've got another test up their sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing's going to go away, only to be replaced by. Let me get the name of this in front of me. You're going to love this. It seems like this new test, which was designed by DARPA, of all agencies. Let's see.
I've got my trust already. Yeah.
It's called a DIGET, D-I-G-E-T, Detect It with Gene Editing Technologies.
All right, how's the test administered? Easy for me to say.
I don't have the details on that, but I'm sure it involves, you know, some sort of invasive collection of some.
Yes. That's their game. Whatever they're going to do, it'll be invasive. Sure.
So this is not the end of testing. This is not about the testing going away. It's about the testing being replaced with something else, more reliable, according to the CDC.
More profitable.
And more invasive.
According to us. And more invasive. Absolutely. Yeah.
So that was the big news, I think, this week.
Well, that's pretty big news. I mean, if it's got a needle involved or a Schwab involved, it's got to have one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they going to be, or maybe they'll do an oral kind of a thing. I don't know. In China, they're doing anal. look, the sky's the limit here. And I also
got wind of they're going to be testing newborns. Right out of the womb.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
With a nasal Schwab, I saw a video of an absolute infant, maybe a week old, 2 weeks, and that this. How could a nurse call herself a nurse, sticking this thing up this little child's nose, and the child was screaming because she was putting it way up there? You know the game. It's unbelievable.
It's horrific.
It's inhuman. And Fauci, one of the most inhuman of all the inhumans, is now calling for children to be sacrificed. Oh, excuse me, tested. This guy is unbelievable, and he's not stopping. He must have been told, keep at it. You're safe. You're fine. Don't worry. We're not going to toss you. Just keep at it. And he is. So yes,
and there's enough people still believing the lie.
The big move in the last week, and I this CDC thing of dropping the PCR test by I guess the EUA is not making news.
Interesting.
It's not there.
Well, so when you consider that this is the test that they used to justify everything they did, you know, from shutting businesses down to quarantining people.
Correct.
For an entire 18 months.
It pulls the rug out from under their own feet.
Yeah. So right. I don't expect that's going to be in headline news.
It's not anywhere. I'm not seeing it.
It's on the CDC website.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it is. But no one's... I think the MSM was told not to run with it. Leave it alone.
Most likely.
And they are.
Because, you know, it's an embarrassment. It would destroy confidence. People might start actually asking questions.
Well, yeah, they can ask questions, but they're not going to get any answers. Not from them. I think this is a massive course change, pulling mm-hmm. this PCR off the front line. That's incredible. They just validated every critic from the beginning that complained about it. And the Kerry Mullis, if he were here, he would have wrecked the whole thing for them. That's why they had to kill him. And I'm speaking for myself, not for anyone else. But yeah, no, yep. They took him out. He would have died 3 months, most conveniently, before this whole nightmare began. I sad. He was in perfect condition. If you saw the interviews he did at the time, I've run several of them. He was fine.
Mm-hmm.
The big move in the last week, and William Dean in the first hour tonight, we talked about the mandatory vaccine, or you lose your job. They're mandating vaccines. They're mandating the kill shots. That's not forcing them physically, but it's forcing them economically, intellectually, emotionally, professionally, on the healthcare community, on
yes.
other groups of people. So
yep.
they're desperate, and they're really showing their true colors, which are ruthless, barbaric, and unquenchable. They will not stop. So, and they've got everybody behind them. So they're one-third of the, as you know, the professional health community has not been vaccinated. And William said that in one hospital in North Carolina, because of this mandating, 700 nurses short in one hospital, 800 nurses are short in another hospital, and these are big hospitals in North Carolina.
Wow.
And this is going to be commonplace all over the country if they push this like they look like they're going to push it. They're just going to quit. Thank God.
Yeah.
Your job is not worth your life.
No. You know, and that it constitutes coercion. I mean, you cannot have informed consent and coercion at the same time.
No, you cannot. When all of you look at the top of the homepage, there's a very interesting video up there, and I can't say it's. I didn't do the test, but it's obvious what's going on there. Can you explain that a little bit for us, what we're seeing with those graphene? They're round items. Some are bigger, some are smaller. There seem to be two sizes, pretty much. But what's going on there in that video?
Well, you're seeing the effect of, I believe these are, I mean, obviously that's not graphene, single molecules of graphene, because you couldn't possibly see something that small. I mean, graphene
right.
is a single layer of a carbon atom. I mean, you could not see that with a naked eye. You could barely see it with a electron microscope. So these must be aggregates or the nanotubes, carbon nanotubes. But what they'll do is, in the presence of an electromagnetic field, they begin to move and self-assemble. And if that is what's in the vaccine or anything close to that, and people have said that this stuff will start to network once it gets in you. And it looks awfully similar to what we saw with the Pfizer,
mm-hmm.
The vial
right.
example that somebody
yeah.
was able to put under a microscope.
Yep.
These tiny little moving particles. Well, they in the presence of an electromagnetic field, they will start to self-assemble. Network and self-assemble.
And the question is, obviously, and you don't have the specific answer, but the question is, self-assemble into what?
Just making more of themselves, apparently, and extending wherever
they can. Whatever they're putting in the vax, when there's self-assembling involved, is being done by a plan. They're not just throwing them in there and watching them do this. It's all planned. It's all laid out, and it's programmed. This is what they're doing. Okay, look at the video and understand that these are not individual molecules of graphene, right? They're already agglutinations of graphene, and they've taken on a perfectly round spherical shape, two sizes. And if you do remember the other video from Denmark of, apparently, I forget which vax it was.
It was Pfizer.
It had a very strange formation in the liquid that was under obviously a slide, and they were watching and videotaping or video recording, digitally recording, and they were seeing these little round orbs were being looked like they were being made at one end of this form, and they headed to the other end and the exit. It was a very intelligent maneuver, whatever it was. So there you go.
They were definitely moving. There's no doubt about it.
All right. Here's the video. Thank you for whoever sent this in. Todd passed it along. Maybe Todd sent it in. This is Dr. Kerry Madej, and we're going to get into, I believe, wasn't that right at the end where Tenpenny kind of went off?
She said it a couple times throughout, but, you know, she reiterated
it
again at
the
end.
Yeah, all right. All right, here we go. Let's listen just a little bit. These are the five doctors. Here we go. Oh, we can go right through the break, Todd. Thanks. It'd be nice if I turn the sound on here. Hold on. It'd be nice if the sound came on when I turned it on.
Yeah, Tim Ray and I, we've been encouraged.
Let me back this up just a drop.
Own groups locally. We call it freedommeetup.org. You can look that up, and we help you start the group. And you don't even have to know what you're doing. The point is to get people who just want freedom there, and you don't discuss politics or anything, but because it doesn't matter anymore. You're there to defend and support each other. And we help with educational sources, et cetera. But the point is to physically get together once a week. That is so powerful, I promise you. That physical connection is amazing. And plus, there's an energy that is synergistic when you get together. Because, again, you know, your heart goes out minimum 6 feet from your body with its love frequency, okay, which is the highest frequency out there. When you bring people together, there's a synergy, exponential. And just being together is amazing. So please just spend 2 hours of the week doing that, and you make a huge difference. And then that spreads because people, you know, they need to follow others, right? And I'm happy to help. If you want to start something local, we could do a Zoom. Anyway, freedommeetup.org, and hugging and praying and kissing and cooking together and finding joy in music and dancing and singing.
I assume she's talking about the unvaxxed.
I think so.
I missed that before. I'm gonna. That was kind of a surprise. Hold on. Where is Miss Tenpenny? There she is. I hope this is the. This is not the right video. This is April 22nd.
Oh, so that's very dated.
Yeah. This one I'm talking about was just, I just got it a day or two ago. So, all right, let's see if anything happens here for a minute. It might be something interesting here.
Yeah. You're muted.
You're muted.
And one last thing that we
automatic, it must auto-mute me. I don't know.
Maureen, before we all go, I want everybody to look at the camera and smile. So we can take like a good picture of everything that's happening here, so we've got it in our thing, okay?
Can
we
do that?
Well, this is not going anywhere by way of revelations or disclosure. This is an older video, 4/22/21. This one I saw was just a week ago or less. So if anybody has that,
I've got it up.
Send it to Todd. If you have Todd's address, he can get it right over.
Okay.
All right. Now, let me go back to where we are. The vanguard of these mandate campaigns, you know that somebody's pulling the strings on this from very high up. They're going nationwide. You're going to see it in your community. Probably already have some of you. And it's going to have to be something that you are ready for, you've thought about, you've discussed with your family before, that your life is worth more than some kind of an ultimatum, a terror move, which I think this really is. And you have to be ready for it. Many of you have already had to confront this and make the decision. All right, we'll be right back. Hold on. Okay. All right. We got the right video here. You're going to listen a little bit to Dr. P. Palevsky, and then we'll get toward the end of this. You'll hear the frustration, and I think it's depending on exhaustion, not with Palevsky necessarily. I wonder where he came from. All right. Anyway. Do we know much about Palevsky, Erica?
What I know is that he's a pediatrician in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm. And he had to restrict his practice. I know that.
Well, yeah, he was getting ill from being around vaxxed people, so I don't know how he's handled that. He did mention that he was going to change the way he practices or sees patients.
Okay. All right. Here's this, episode 56, the Five Doctors Special, July 22nd.
Coronavirus is benign, and it can't really kill you, and it can't really provide a great amount of potency and virulence. So if you do gain-of-function research on a coronavirus, you're manufacturing what you have said, and many of us have said, is a bioweapon. And then when the Salk Institute shows you that you don't even need the presence of a coronavirus or any virus for the spike protein to create the symptoms of COVID-19, then you know that the weapon, which is a synthetic bioweapon, man-made, is responsible for creating some of the damage. But, and I've never said this publicly, but I'm going to say it now, I think the whole idea of a spike protein is a distraction.
Hmm. See, I've heard that before somewhere.
And the reason I think it's distraction, because there are other things in these shots.
Oh, yeah.
Unknown.
I think I've heard that before somewhere else, too.
And, you know, yes, maybe graphene oxide. So what? Right? Maybe more mRNA that we're not aware of. So what? But when we see the electrical charges that we're seeing, and we're seeing the concomitant increase in electromagnetic pulsing, as well as the use of 5G, we're seeing the possibility that there are materials in these injections that Dr. Mahde spoke about very early on, which are radioisotopic or radiation materials.
Now, I've definitely heard that somewhere else before, like on this program, like right out of the patents. I'm not saying anything bad about Palevsky, but you get it here. In as good a quality as you're going to get, and usually first.
That are either being injected or being exposed to us, and that are being transmitted from person to person, which then creates all of this electromagnetic issue. This magneto nanoparticle may be more than we are even aware of.
Well,
I've heard that before, too, right here. You know, this is not to say that there aren't other people doing really great work. Okay. But it is to say that we have extraordinary talent here with Erica, and we bring the best information forward. She was, in maybe our first broadcast, maybe the second, the first I ever heard bring up the issue that a lot of the injuries being photographed and video recorded among those who have taken the vax, skin visible injuries, look like radiation poisoning. They look like they were caused by something radioactive. Come to find out, at the Moderna patent, there are 8 or 9 radioisotopes right in there, right in the patent, which is carefully worded to say that we can put anything we want in this patent. So there you go. Any comment on that real quick, Erica? They do look like radiation poisoning, some of them, the injuries, you're right. You've been right all along.
Yeah, I think they're, at least in some of them, last week I mentioned that a preprint of a paper came out that mysteriously disappeared within days of being on the Internet or available on the Internet, and it referenced a substance they're calling URA-3665 having to do with overcoming people's, well, healthy people's robust immune response. In other words, it would somehow engage the immune systems of healthy people. So the question is, what is this URA-3665? Nobody seems to know. Well, this week, another study preprint came out referencing the same material, and this one is entitled Analysis of COVID-19 Vaccines Reveal Hidden URA-3665, which may have a cumulative toxic effect on the unvaccinated. Now,
what?
My mind is going towards...
On the unvaccinated?
On the unvaccinated.
As in transmission, transfection.
That's Jenny. What I would take it to mean. So with this abbreviation, URA, my mind goes towards uranium.
Of course.
And that would be consistent with not all of the reports, but many of the reports, particularly that notable one from we read a couple weeks ago with a woman that suffered for 3 months with what I would consider radiation poisoning. It looked like radiation poisoning.
Sure did. Sure does.
I mean, the pain, gastrointestinal issues, burning sensations.
Yeah, it looked like Hiroshima to me.
Night sweats. I mean, just, yeah.
All right. When I saw in that Moderna patent 8 or 9 radionuclides, I couldn't believe it. And they say may contain, but not limited to, and then they list all these isotopes, radioactive, may contain but not limited to. That means may contain, maybe we'll put it in, maybe we won't. And it's not limited to any of the listed radioisotopes. In other words, they could put in URA-2335, right? No problem. Just tuck it right in there.
Yeah, they've left it open-ended, knowing full well, you know, it's at their discretion if they choose to change it.
All right, let's go back to this video here.
Wouldn't say that.
Here's Tenpenny.
High protein is a distraction. I don't think that any of those things need to be an either or.
What I'm saying is that if we get caught down the rabbit hole of the spike protein is being transmitted, we're going to miss the fact.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying that.
No, why can't it be more than one thing?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why,
But you're not.
No, I am. What I'm saying is that we get caught if we listen to what's going on around the Malones and the Flemings and the experts. They're all talking about the spike protein this and the spike protein that. And I'm saying don't be distracted by just that because of all of the other potential ingredients. In addition to, I'm going to go back to Carrie's statement months ago. about the radiation that's being potentially transmitted.
No, I would just change your language just a little bit, and I wouldn't say don't be distracted. I would say don't be solely focused on, don't be solely focused on the spike protein, because we've already talked about other things, the antibody to the spike protein, the double-stranded DNA that's floating around out there, and now it seems like now we're talking about graphene, graphite. We talked about hydrogel, graphene, graphite, and now if we're talking about radiation types of things, we've got 160 of these little babies coming down the pipeline. If you think they're going to be all the same, we're sorely mistaken.
Right. And so I'll go out on a limb and say that's what they want us to know. And I'll say that's what they want us to know, and I'm not going to get caught down the rabbit hole of only knowing what they tell us they want us to know.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where Carrie.
Together, maybe the radioactive nature of this material is within the spike protein itself. I mean, it's a possibility. These are just viral particles that are synthetic, so why couldn't they be constructed with something synthetic that could be radioactive or turn radioactive? I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even know if it's a viral particle that's in the spike protein, because you get anti-parasitic drugs that are treating people with these conditions. So I don't know that what's being manufactured is viral in nature. I think it's certainly a man-made weapon of sorts that we are completely unaware of, that may, as you say, be magnified through electromagnetic pulsing. But again, many of the symptoms that we see, nose bleeding, and this is in people who had COVID and people who are getting the shot, and then in people who are exposed to those who are getting the shot. Nose bleeding, bleeding, clotting, hypoxia, stroke, headaches, migraines, miscarriages, heart disease. You can get this from radiation poisoning.
And, DARPA's Project Blue Angel, I brought that up before, they're using plants, tobacco plants, and they can rapidly, within days, make these viral particles that are synthetic, and they're actually using graphene and hybridizing the plants with the graphene. You have to read up on this, it's crazy. So the plants are part synthetic, and they're producing these they have human cells inside the plants, and they're producing these viral particles in the tobacco plants. So that's my idea of perhaps we are dealing with, we're all talking about the same thing, they're just combined. When you're looking at that technology, it's frightening.
One of the benefits of using the spike protein as the hook, okay, so everything else, this is something I don't say in public very often, but I can present the science.
This is Dr. Lee Merritt.
But the spike protein is the hook. All this other stuff is what they really want to get into us, possibly.
Right.
But the
right.
spike protein it hooks onto the ACE2 pathway, and the ACE2 pathway is different by race. I'm just going to tell you that's the fact.
And by sex, and by blood type.
Possibly by sex. I don't know about
and,
that. But
and
I,
if, yeah. And
the TMP RSS pathway and the ACE2 pathway are racially determined. And
right.
so if you want to wipe out some people and not other people, this would be a way to do it. I'm not saying that's what happened when it came around as the contact poison, but that certainly could be the vaccination plan. We don't know.
Right. Mo?
And that's kind of the bottom line. What Lee just said, we don't know.
Right.
I mean, it seems like, look back now. I mean, I just did this talk when part of the talk that I did in Anaheim said this, which bears repeating, right? We have been talking, they released Moderna and Pfizer shot in December. That was 8 months ago. They released the J&J shot in February. That was 5 months ago. It seems everybody wants specific answers with specific causes, with specific solutions. What do you do? What do you know? We don't know.
How long does it keep going? How long do we produce it?
I just said that. They want specific everythings. We don't have any answers to that. And, you guys, we've all been talking to this gal in our different conversations with the gal, the scientist at Texas A&M. And, she said to me, we've got a lot of email chains going back and forth, and she said, It drives her crazy because she's dealt with messenger RNA and nanotechnology most of her career. And a lot of these questions that we're answering, how long, what is it, what happens, how long does the spike protein last, how long does the antibody to the spike protein last, what sheds, blah, 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 should have been all defined in a laboratory before it went to animal studies. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the animal studies, all of the animals died within 5 years before it ever was released on humanity. So I appreciate that everybody and all these questions and all these different things, you know, wants all these specific answers. But please put this in context. I know it seems like we've been talking about this for 8 years instead of 8 months, but this has been on our radar for 8 months. The five people that are here and the next, you know, people, the 12 disinformation dozen, or the disinformation dozen, and then the next 24 disinformation people that we talked about on a private call, all of us here the other night, because I came up with a list with the next 24 people. So there's at least 36 frontliners. And then all of the people that spill out and shred and spread the stuff that we say. Please keep that in context when you're asking for hammer down, really specific answers. 8 months is how long we've been dealing with this, really. We had the shutdowns, the masks, the PCR, and all that stuff. But that was all leading us to here. And so I think if you put those time frames in context, your questions will seem more reasonable.
Sherry, it's actually 3 months. April 22nd is when we did our first five docs.
That's true.
If they want to squeeze somebody, I think they should squeeze the people like in Europe that gave these conferences on shedding of these exact agents, basically genetic agent shedding in 2007 and 2008. Somebody knows a lot more about this. Let's put the squeeze on those guys. People should ask for answers from the FDA, who put out the circular in 2015 and then didn't come clean about it when we talked about these problems.
Exactly. So, Larry, you're right. 3 months. 3 months, what, tonight? It's when we first started talking about
April 22nd, correct.
Transmitting versus shedding. But when you put in context of when these shots came online and everybody wants to know, I get it. There's anxiety is high. People are afraid. They're scared. They see, you know, injections are bad. Not being injected is maybe equally as bad if I'm catching stuff from people. I mean, I get it. But. Just understand, I mean, the intensity, I'm telling you, I just answered 55 questions over here. And the intensity of these questions show me that, take a deep breath, put these things in time frames, and we're working as fast and as hard as we can to peel the information out, change the diagram, and that the bottom line, what we started the conversation with tonight, we should probably end with, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Enough is enough of all of this crap, all of it, right? And I think that is, you know, if we start hashtagging that mantra everywhere and start thinking anything that you want to put in your timeline, it's all enough is enough, all of it, whether it's about the shot, the remedy, the detox, the bath, the blah, enough is enough of all of it, all of it.
All right, Erica, thanks for sending the video over. Yeah, they're at a point where there's clearly fatigue setting in, understandably. Surprised they did as well as they did without going this obviously into a let's just pull back. It's time to pull back. That's episode number 56 that they've done, the five docs. So commendations to all of them. Go ahead, tell us your thoughts.
I can feel the frustration in them, and rightfully so. These people have been brave and just dedicated to getting the word out. They're sharing the lion's share of the burden of trying to educate the public, and I think the public is expecting a lot from them. And yeah, as Lee Merritt said, that, you know, why not seek answers from the people that, you know, came up with this technology, the FDA, these government agencies.
That's right.
Those are the people with the real answers. We're just guessing. And we're probably going off of bad information as it is. We don't know what's in these things. Everybody should be asking the question of why are there magnetic nanoparticles in these vaccines? Why is there green fluorescing protein in these vaccines? Why is there graphene oxide in these vaccines? And if there or is there not...
Radioisotopes. Well, why are there radioactive elements in the Moderna patent, for example? Also, radiation. Why is there a UR, whatever the hell the numbers are?
URA-3665, if anybody can figure out what that is. That seems to be something that's causing problems in the unvaxxed.
When you all of you who are unvaxxed, are around the vaxxed, and we have listeners out there, a lot of wonderful people who took the shot, trusting the government, and many of them wish that they hadn't now. But the bottom line is, all of us need to be aware of the fact that there is transfection going on. That's infection by transmission, horizontal transmission. Understand that. And it's by touch, it's by exhalation, it's by coughing, sneezing, any body fluids. Somebody gets a little sweaty and they wipe their forehead. It could be in the sweat there. I'm not trying to be paranoid. It can be. And they could grab a doorknob. You grab the doorknob, and there's transmission. It's that simple, and people don't want to hear it. And I understand that. Erica, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and another concern is people believe that this shedding, whatever it is going to diminish over time. And I think it's important to consider the possibility that it may actually increase.
Why do you say that? That's interesting.
Reports from some people that have had experience with those who have been vaxxed.
Mm-hmm.
Have noticed that it doesn't seem to matter when these people have had the vax, whether it's, you know, the next day, a couple weeks later, or 3 months later. Whenever they're around those people, they get symptoms. So what if, I mean, this thing just sets up shop within your body, and depending on your immune system, how it... you know, keeps the production of spike proteins at bay, or whatever is being transmitted, we actually don't know. But over time, the immune response just wears out, and so you become a super spreader. Or whatever this technology is that's running some program just proliferates over time.
Right.
And you become a super spreader that way.
You raise a good point, and it's very important that we keep this in mind, that time may not diminish the fact that we are being constantly exposed to whatever it is that they're putting in that's coming out of people. They're being genetically changed to manufacture, we've been talking about the spike protein, but other things could be involved. We may be being led and tricked into chasing up a cul-de-sac here, or a cul-de-sac there. They might be just sitting back laughing at these programs and the five doctors and all the others,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think every batch is identical. There's no uniformity here. What one region of the country is getting is probably quite different from another area. It's probably deliberately targeted in certain ways.
Oh, I completely concur. Remember the cases of vax that showed up in Africa that said,
yep,
not for use in Europe or America or something like that. It was,
yeah,
right on the case.
Yep.
So make of that what you will. All right, well, we will keep watching this for you and reporting, and that's all we can do. And all of you, I'm sure, of kind heart and mind understand that we don't have the answers either. We're trying to put this together the best way we can, logically, pragmatically. It's just tough. It's a tough one. Thanks, Erica, very much, as always. Thank you.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure.
All right, good night.
Good night.
And thanks to all of you, and we'll be back to Thursday already. It's now, I just checked the last little break, it's 91 degrees now. And we don't live in the desert here. All right. See you tomorrow night.